All right. So we're going to start up in Matthew 28. I'm going to go through this with you. But if you have your Bibles, please open them and stand with me. This will be brief today. Hi, Bella. I saw you in the video with Daddy. That's so cute. So Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read from verse 18. I'm also going to show it here on the display. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So, Father in heaven, we thank you for a passage like this that we call the Great Commission, where each of us takes part in your mission, Lord. And you say here, it's to make disciples. The last main command that Matthew, a disciple of yours, which he actually quoted from you, as if to think and say, wow, this is the best part. This is how you end the story. And as you left this planet to go back to heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave this great commission to the church, not just to Matthew Levi, but to each and every one of us that are part of the family of God, part of the body of Christ. You called us, you authorized us to make disciples. So as we wish to do that, we can't do that in our strength. Oh, Lord, we ask, please pour out your Spirit. Empower each of us, and for those that will be baptized today, as well as those that might be thinking about being baptized, God, we ask that you would greatly convict our hearts, that we would declare you not just Savior for our sins, but you want to be Lord of our lives. Oh, Lord, we need your Spirit, your empowerment, your equipping, your enablement to do so. We are so spiritually bankrupt, God. We need you. Empower each of us, comfort our hearts, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, thank you. You could have a seat if you would, please. And so as Jesus gives this thing called the Great Commission, we must make sure that we get this right. We were looking at this earlier in the servants' meeting today. And when you look this up, you could actually go to Blue Letter Bible on their app or on the website to look this up in the original language. This is what is called the Great Commission. So what Jesus does, as Matthew quotes him, he starts off in Matthew 28, as he ends his book, after the resurrection of Jesus, after he died on the cross, okay, and rose from the grave, before he ascended into heaven, though, he gives what is one of the last quotes, or the very last quote that Matthew quoted Jesus as saying, before he went back to heaven, all authority. Okay, so what does Jesus authorize the church to do? It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He authorizes you and I to do what? Make what? Make a lot of money. No. Do you know there's actually Christians that think that? Anybody know that? There's Christians in this city that think, Jesus died to make me a millionaire or give me a lot of money. That might happen, but that's not the focus. And that's not what he's talking about here. Did he die and tell you, go and make a lot of churches? No. So church planting is what we do in order to make disciples. That's not the main focus, though. Main focus is to make disciples. Okay? So whatever we make out of this and whatever you make out of your life, the main thing that you and I are called, commanded, commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to do in this life until he takes you home is to do what? Make disciples. A disciple. So the authority is specifically and solely to make disciples. Notice he did not give authorization to make anything else. Think about that. But Jesus, am I going to make a lot of money? Could be, but that's not the focus. Jesus, am I going to make a lot of this or that? Am I going to make a lot of friends? Am I going to whatever it is that you want to endeavor to do in life? No guarantee. But he wants you and I, he's going to call, command, commission us to make disciples. So as we looked at earlier, in the original language, the command is specifically to make disciples. And even on the page here, I'm just going to kind of lightly cover this. You could read through this on your own if you want. But baptism is part of your discipleship process. So what we do in making disciples, we need to ask Jesus, what is it you want us to do? You know, why do we believe what we believe? Where is it in the Bible? This is it. Okay, Matthew 28. The Great Commission, we make what? What do we do, church? We make disciples. This is one of the main reasons why we exist. So we can make friends here. But that's peripheral. It's not central. It's not core. He wants us to make disciples. Make sense? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So make disciples. So how do we do that, Jesus? Notice as we continue on, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we make disciples. One of the first things we want to do, even what we'll do today, please keep us in prayer. There's some folks here too that want to get baptized, right? They want to declare publicly that Jesus is not just Savior for their sins, but the Lord of their lives. So a disciple, people that declare themselves as a disciple. Disciple means a learner. It means a follower. And even Matthew Levi himself, he writes into his own book, in this book that we call Matthew, in chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus came by the tax office and he said two little words to Jesus. What are those two words that he told him when he saw Matthew Levi? He said, follow the stock market? No, not the stock market, right? Follow me. Okay, so a disciple is a follower of Jesus. And even as I put here on the screen, notice that people don't naturally and automatically follow Jesus, do they? They don't. They need to be taught to. Anybody, amen to that? We have to see examples and we have to have question answer time. We need to be able to learn from each other, amen? People don't naturally follow Jesus. In your old life, that's the old nature. That's in Adam, so to speak. In Christ, in Cristo, you say in Espanol, in Christ, in Cristo, we learn to follow him, but we need help. Amen? So he gives you the helper, the Holy Spirit, but also he gives you friends. He gives you family. So this is what the church needs to be about and to do. So we don't automatically, we don't naturally follow Jesus. We need to be taught how to follow Jesus. Make sense? Thus the great need within the church today. And this is what Calvary Chapels are about, is basically teaching the Bible. So as we want to obey Christ's command in this great commission to make disciples, what do we do, Jesus? He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. All right, you can go through and read that in greater depth and detail later on, but I got to keep this brief today. Because again, my target, keep me accountable, guys. We're going to close here in 20 minutes or less. And I want to leave a little time for prayer at the end. All right, so Jesus says at the end here in verse 19, he says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the main first things we want to do. Baptism is typically seen as the first step that someone has in declaring Jesus as Lord and following him as the Lord of your life. Yes, he's the Savior for your sins, but is he the Lord of your life? Okay, and so we want to publicly declare that. Are we going to do this publicly? Yes. We don't want to do this thing hidden in the dark. It could be done at night, but I don't know about you. I don't want to go to the beach at nighttime. So we do this. We're going to do it publicly. It'll be fun. Hopefully all y'all and others can come out and join us. And praise God, as we showed you on the beach, if it's crammed and crowded out there, it'd be more people to witness what the Lord is doing in your lives. Amen? Good thing. So he says here, what's the second main thing that we do, which is what we need to do, we must do. Please pray through this, and please pray for us too. Notice in verse 20, just to lightly cover this, how do you make disciples? Verse 20, he says, teaching them. You know, one of the great needs today in the church is teaching. Not teaching in general, not just telling funny jokes or stories, but teaching what? The Word of God. That's a great lack today, isn't it? As prophesied in God's Word. So teaching, and notice he says teaching them to observe. Teaching for applications, right? that you and I, and this is actually in our statement of faith, that we would teach for personal application of God's word. It's great to have a Bible. It's better to read a Bible. But how many of us know it's best to apply the Bible? Any of y'all know that? Amen? That's what God expects. So if people don't know what it says, they don't know what to apply. And if they're not learning God's word correctly within its context, then they could take it out of context, and then the application could be bad. Any of you guys know that? We know that can happen, right? So there's a great need for teaching. And teaching, as he says in verse 20, sorry, it's not on the screen here, but it's in your Bible, teaching them to observe. Matthew Levi understood what that meant. And hey, if you take a look at the letters, like even as we mentioned, Brother Andy going through Romans or any of the New Testament letters, these apostles, these followers, early followers of Christ, they took the commands of Christ and they illustrated them throughout their letters. They didn't come up with anything new. They would hear these things from Jesus and they started writing these things to the church, which at the time of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, many of them were Gentiles, so they didn't understand. Stay away from this, run towards that. So they had to be taught. They had to be discipled. So he says, teaching them to observe, what does he say here? All things. There's a great need and a great lack, but a great need today to teach the entire Bible, or like Paul writes, all scripture, right? And so this is why within Calvary Chapel, we want to teach the entire Bible and teach through the entire Bible, teach through books. That's a great need, isn't it? And it's a great lack today. So teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So baptism is done as part of the Great Commission, even as Christ commanded. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians chapter 2. This is another neat thing that we need to see. Is baptism is a symbol of death. Colossians chapter 2, starting from verse 11. Colossians 2, at verse 11, we're going to learn that baptism is a symbol of death. Symbol of death? So some would say at a baptism, welcome to my funeral. It's like a living funeral. Colossians 2 verse 11 says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Notice this in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And I'm just going to read through to verse 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. All right, so notice in Colossians 2, verse 12, we are buried with him in what? What does it say? In baptism. So, and I'll share this on the screen here. Christians, those that declare Christ as the Savior for their sins, and we want to follow him as the Lord of our lives. Now, we're a follower. That word Christian literally, define that word or title, Christian, it means a Christ follower. But Christians, you and I, Paul also wrote in Galatians 2:20, we are crucified with Christ. So we want to identify with him as he died on the cross. He died, but he died for your sins and mine. We're also buried with him in baptism. We just read that in Colossians 2:12. And further, we're raised with him through faith. So there's a death. That's what the cross spoke of. And it is a shameful thing. It was a shameful way to die. And yet, did Jesus deserve to die? No. Did he die for your sins, though? Yes. So we want to see that. And I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Furthermore, I'm buried with him in baptism. So sometimes we can look at that and go, yeah, praise God, you died for me in all my sins. I believe Galatians 2:20, but I want to still live for myself. No, but no. There's a burial. There's a funeral, so to speak. And so baptism is great as a symbol of death because we've been crucified with Christ. We also need to remember that we're buried with him. Okay, so we're a dead woman, dead man, so to speak. Right? No longer do I have rights, so to speak, like I used to have in the world. Because I belong to who now? Who do we belong to?
Jesus.
Oh, come on. Say it like you love him.
Jesus!
There you go. We belong to Jesus. So we're buried with him also in baptism. So baptism is a picture of death, a picture of a burial, a picture of a funeral. It's really that simple. Notice in verse 13, one thing I want to pay attention to here. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven, it says, you all trespasses. So this word here in Colossians 2 verse 13, for forgiven, it means to give graciously. So you've been forgiven. God has given you graciously. And you know about grace, you can't work for grace, can you? You can't. You don't deserve it even. He just gives it. So that's about his forgiveness for you through Jesus Christ. You can't work for it. We just graciously receive his grace. Having forgiven, he's given freely is what the word means. It means to show favor, to give graciously. The root of the word is that Greek word charis or grace, that word for forgiveness. You can read in Hebrews 8 later on, the whole chapter. At the end, what happens if you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, you crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, and we go through baptism, right? We're buried with him in baptism. There's also resurrection. We are resurrected. That's why I love the butterfly. It's not the word butterfly is on the Bible, but it's a great picture of God's creation, of what he's done with you and I. No longer like the caterpillar. Remember, it crawls inside a cocoon it makes? It's like a picture of a burial, like of a death, right? And then it crawls out. It struggles out, really. And then now it's a new creation. There's a metamorphosis that has gone on. There's a change, a transformation. It's a great picture of who? Yeah. Of who else? Point. Who's it a picture of? Of you in Christ. Of me in Christ. Okay, so you have a resurrected life. And in verse 14 it says, having wiped out. I love that. Who loves the fact that your sins were wiped out? I love that. Wiped out. The word for wiped out means to anoint or wash in every part. It speaks of to wipe off or wipe away. In the Old Testament, your sins were not eradicated. They weren't wiped away. They were covered. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? And that's celebrated in Leviticus 16 around September on our calendar, where the Jews go through what's called Yom Kippur. Yom means day. Kofar means to cover. Literally within the Hebrew language, Yom Kofar or Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, it speaks of your sins not being eradicated, but just covered. They were just covered, but you knew they were still there. Isn't that a bummer? That's the best that the Old Covenant has. So the person is like, oh, I live according to the Ten Commandments. Oh, I still keep Torah. Oh, what a bummer. What a bummer to know that your sins are not eradicated, that you have to attain your salvation, which you can't, and you try to maintain your salvation, which you can't. It becomes religious legalism. Anybody know that? Okay, so that's what happens. So Messiah Jesus, what he did is he died on the cross for your sins. And we need to understand, yeah, I'm there. You died for me, but I died as well. My sins, my past, all died. And not only are they died, I go through this symbolic thing called baptism. Baptism doesn't save, but it's for the saved. And when you go through this, we believe doing it old-fashioned style. I love that. No sprinkle. Okay, some people will do that. Catholics do that, some Presbyterians and others. Yes, that might be the case. Or if you're in a situation where maybe you can't actually be immersed underwater. But Jesus was baptized where? In the Jordan River. Okay, it wasn't a little trickle. So you'll see even in some movies, they'll just take it so they don't offend some religious people that take the water and just splash it on the head. No, there was an immersion. Go under. How do we know this? Well, it doesn't say specifically, but baptism is a symbol of death. You get a picture also of going under the water. It's like say bye-bye to the old lady, the old man, and rising anew in Christ, in Cristo, right? So buried with him in baptism, and we're also raised with him through faith. It's a great imagery for that, a great teaching for that. So going through the further on this page, you can read the rest, but why did Jesus have to be baptized? I'll just cover this lightly. At what age was Jesus baptized? 30. Okay? Luke records that, which actually proves that, like how Hebrews says, Jesus is our great high priest. So the Jew would look at that and go, okay, he didn't come out of the tribe of Levi. Yes, he came of the tribe of Judah. But just like the priest in Numbers chapter 4, the priest started their earthly ministry at the age of 30. Praise God. Luke actually records that in his gospel that Jesus was baptized at what age? 30. At 30. Okay, so Jesus got baptized. You can read about this in Matthew 3. I have it quoted on the page here. That he told John the Baptist his baptism was, quote, to fulfill all righteousness. And so as Matthew's writing this greatly to the Jews, when the Jew would read this, that Jesus quotes, we're going to fulfill all righteousness, their heart and their ear would go, okay, what in Torah is he fulfilling? So this is a shout back to Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He fulfilled righteousness, and righteousness was depicted there. What is it? Okay, so the priest had to wash, I believe it's Exodus 30, the priest had to wash. This is before they would go in to sacrifice or to serve. Listen to that. Before they would sacrifice or serve, the priest would wash. And so they went in, history holds, they would go to this thing called the bronze laver for washing. Walk past the altar. They come to this big receptacle of water. They take the water, which was what kind of water? You guys remember? That was the red heifer water. All right. Good job. My son listens. Great. This is the red heifer water of Numbers 19. And so they would take this water for cleansing. History holds they would wash. Well, they would actually be barefoot too. Wash left hand to left foot. That kind of be awkward. Right hand to right foot. They would clean their feet and they walk in on dirt. But anyhow, they would clean. It was a special kind of cleansing. Levitical cleansing. And so they would have to do that. God told them, lest you die. Lest you die, he tells them again. And so Jesus fulfilled righteousness when he got baptized. That helps you and I to see how is he not just a priest, but a great priest or a high priest and even a great high priest. He actually did that to fulfill Torah. That before he would serve or sacrifice, he had to wash. Again, I think that's Exodus 30. So for the person that's wondering, okay, why did he get baptized? You hear all kinds of stories. He did that to identify with humanity. You'll hear that. Sadly, there's Christians that will teach that. That's not in the Bible. Why did he get baptized? He tells you it was to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew 3, you could read that. So the priest had to wash before serving and before sacrificing. This also teaches you, because there's many today because of Catholic fables and others, they think, oh, Jesus is such a miraculous dude. He must have done tons of stuff from the time he was a kid. Anybody hear stories like that? They're fables. Jesus could not do any miracles, any ministry at all before the age of 30. If he did, he would have been a sinner. Do you know that? Because he'd be disqualified to be a priest, because a priest had to start serving at 30. And the priest had to wash before starting to serve or sacrifice. And for him to be declared as a sinless, perfect Messiah to die for your sins, he would be a liar, and so would the followers of Jesus. Make sense? He's not a liar. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. So this answers the question, did Jesus do any miracles on earth before the age of 30?
No.
No. Could not have. Okay. So we also want to follow that example because there's people today, oh, do you baptize babies? No. Presbyterian churches who, from the time of the Reformation, they didn't reform enough. They kept baby baptism, also called pedo baptism. Pedo means a child. Baby baptism. Sprinkle on the forehead. It's like, oh, they're saved. No, they're not. Even Jesus was 30. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus do or command, or the apostles in the Bible do or command people to baptize babies. So you'll see that on the back here on this sheet. Should I be baptized before starting to serve? Jesus did so. That's following that example. Now, it doesn't always follow exactly like that. But should we? Yes. Because even as underlined here on the page, baptism is often seen as a Christian's first step as following Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, so as we answer the question, what about baby baptism? Well, baby baptism, does it count? No. Does it count with God? No. But I got a certificate from the Catholic Church. Even one for my first communion. We had a big party and we had all these pictures. Doesn't count. It's not in the Bible. It goes completely against Scripture and what Jesus Christ himself directly commanded. They're not biblical. So we baptize to obey the command of Christ to do what? To make what? Make disciples. Simple stuff. You guys can read the rest later on. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask for those that want to be baptized. There's a couple that are here. Maybe there's more. Then we could pray for you. Then we could pray for you. Because God loves you. We love you too. And we understand that today's going to be a picture of death to the old self. Amen? The old life. Whatever that was. We don't have time to go through all those sins because we'll be here forever, right? For all of us. But praise God, through one act where Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried according to Scriptures, resurrected according to Scriptures, all that past life that the Bible says is in Adam, in your old ways, that's all bye-bye. It's all gone. And then we'll go through water baptism. It's a symbolic outward act of what's already occurred inwardly. Again, baptism doesn't save. It's for the saved. We want to pray for you, that God's Spirit will continue to empower you. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask for those that are going to be baptized to come forward that we could actually pray for you. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this time, Lord, today that we call Baptism Sunday. Lord, this day is all about you. And we want to be able to obey your command to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that you have commanded. And Lord, we ask that you would please empower each of us. We want to be your followers. We want to obey you. We want to follow the example of Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. Oh, and declare death to the old life. But we need your empowerment to do so. Father, we ask again that as you say in your word, that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We need your mercy. We need your comfort today. Empower each of us by your Spirit for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.